I said at 10 a.m. that after a couple of left hooks to the printer this morning, I gave up. So I've got this. Well, grace, peace, and mercy are yours this day through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This Easter season at Mount Olivet, we've been looking and journeying through a number of stories from the book of Acts, noting how the story of Jesus spread and how it was shared with so many different people. It just kind of kept going, kind of answering, like, now that Jesus is raised from the dead, now what? And in reading in the book of Acts, you see pretty quickly how even the disciples were surprised at how far this message would go. You know, here's Philip in chapter 8, whisked away by the Holy Spirit out in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness, and he meets an Ethiopian eunuch who he would have never come in contact with, it would seem. And the eunuch asks him, well, what's all this Jesus stuff about? And so Philip tells him. Or you have Peter, who learns that Cornelius, who's a Roman centurion, has had a dream that Peter's going to come and talk to him about Jesus. And Peter goes up there and he's like, you guys aren't even Jewish folk. Lo and behold, I guess it's for you too. And then you've got the Apostle Paul, who was persecuting Christians who believed in this message, and he has this revelation on the road, and it changes his whole life. He sees the gospel for him, love and hope and forgiveness, and is sent out into the world. And you know, the disciples just kept telling this Jesus story. It kind of reminds me, sometimes if us pastors go by Pastor Callan's office and we say we're working on a sermon or we're got a funeral or something, Callan will say, what are you going to say? Probably something about Jesus again, huh? You know? And this week we catch up with Paul. He's in Athens, and he's been talking about Jesus to everybody where he goes. To be honest, as I read this week, I'm not sure if I would have even liked hanging out with the Apostle Paul, because it's all he does is just keep on yapping and yapping and yapping. But he couldn't help but try to continue to tell people and give people what he had received in Christ. That is, a new life, a new perspective on himself and the world and others, hope, forgiveness, a God who's really, really near. And, you know, as he went out too, I like how the scripture is honest. Not everybody got on board. And maybe that's just true. After all, the message of Christ can sometimes kind of be a threat to the way we commonly see things in the world. It compels you to look upon the world through the image of God, who's born in a feed trough with human diapers. And it forces you to look upon the world through the image of God dying and suffering on a cross. And it says and it proclaims that the lowly of the world are blessed, and the high of the world will be brought down low. And in some way, shape, or form, that probably threatens all of the different ways that we perceive or conceive of ourselves and the way that power works and things. It brings us to our knees. And sometimes it's not received well. But it seemed not to stop Paul. He just kept yapping. And so we find him in Athens. And one of the beautiful things about this story, when Paul is in Athens, he's among a multi-ethnic, multi-religious, multi-different varied place of a metropolitan area. And it shows that Paul understood that it didn't matter and it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what tradition or religious upbringing you have or whether you're wealthy or poor or a man or a woman or whatever, or you're going through it in your life, or what you've experienced. This story, he proclaims, has something for every person. And he just won't shut up. And Paul starts talking about the resurrection, that there's a hope even in death. There's a hope that goes beyond our lives. And you know, I like that the Bible says some people scoffed. Because I know that in my life, it's hard to believe it sometimes. I know that in many of our lives, it's hard to believe it sometimes. And yet Paul keeps yapping. And that's why I have some gratitude for him and the disciples. They know that the story had given them a new heart, and they want people to hear it, so they just keep saying it. So that even in the times when we ourselves struggle in faith or find ourselves scoffing, God is never far away, as Paul says. This last week, I had one of the very deep privileges of the job of pastor in gathering with a family who had experienced a deep tragedy last year. A 21-year-old in the family, daughter in the family, had tragically died in an accident a year ago. So they invited me, who I had been a part of the funeral, they invited me to gather with the family upon the year anniversary at the graveside and had close family there. And the unique thing about this family is her father is Iranian, and both of her parents are Christian, but many of her Iranian ancestors and relatives are Muslim, of course. And so there we were, about half and half, gathered by the grave. And then we went to lunch afterwards, and I was treated to one of the best lunches I've ever had. And then there was me and the young gal's brother next to me, and then Muslim Uncle Jimmy and Ali next to me, and we started having great conversation, and one of the things that her uncle asked me was, so what is a Lutheran anyway, you know? And more specifically, they were curious, you know, Pastor, can you tell us about, you know, the Christian faith? What, you know, why are there Roman Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists and Presbyterians and Baptists and all the other? And I'm like, I had trouble explaining this to Christians, let alone, you know. But I said, you know, maybe the way to think about it is, for instance, in Islam, there are many different flavors. So it is in Christianity as well. And as Lutherans, we tend to really focus on the grace of God, that you can't earn God's love, that it's there with you and for you in Jesus and even goes with us into death. And it allows us to see every person as God's beloved child. And Ali chimed up and he says, I believe that too. We worship the same God, we're all family here. And that's about as far as the conversation went. Who knows what happened in all of our hearts? I'm not sure if there were any great conversions at the table there. But it was holy ground. And God was not far away, if not presently near. And in being a witness, it was just saying, here's what Jesus does. And in that conversation as well, both of us from our faith traditions condemning the bad religion that's in each of our traditions that causes violence and destruction in the world rather than hope and love. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. And so how is it that we will witness? One of the things of gathering with a smorgasbord of people on a Sunday morning is to remind and be reminded that each one of us, there's not a single other person that has the same experiences, connections, networks, vocations as you. And perhaps it's to think about how it is that the message of God's love comes to you in that and goes through you in that. I confess to Pastor Freeman that I really didn't know what the focus of the sermon would be today. Sometimes us preachers, believe it or not, don't know what to say. And so I thought perhaps all we can do is proclaim Paul's sermon. This is what he said. The God who made the world and everything in it, who is Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't live in shrines made by human hands or the stuff that we have. Nor is he served by human hands, because God doesn't need us or what we give. But God knows, your neighbor does. And God knows we do. And so he's made known in Jesus Christ so that you may know that God is near with you and for you. And in the resurrection of Christ, we receive hope now and in all tragedy that we might face. And again, we're set free to share it. And it struck me that if you need to hear it again, you're in good luck. Because when you come around here, chances are you'll encounter somebody like Paul who just won't shut up about it. Thanks be to God. Amen.